Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility. Thank you for making our show a possibility.
Thank you so much. I just have to say that everybody knows that I love saying that first thing, the ad thing, and we take turns, but I just told Robin she can do this last, even though it was my turn.
And I was like, I don't actually want to do it. She's like, no, do it. I got a joke.
Do it. I want you to do it.
No, I'm waiting for the joke. What's the joke?
That's the joke that I
that
gave
was the
it
whole
to
joke.
You. I didn't, it's not like a joke. I'm just want to let everybody know, like, that's how much I love you. I let you do the ad intro.
Hilarious. Oh, that's hilarious. I was like, wait, what's the joke?
What's the joke? Symbolic gesture is what it is.
Oh, well, I receive your symbolic gesture in the tone in which it was meant, and I say thank you.
You're welcome. Just trying to give you a little love because this is a really bittersweet
episode. Is it. This is our last intro, our last episode. I mean, what we've said it all. I'm going to miss everybody. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss this, you know, the work that we've done. I mean, I'm thrilled. I'm just thrilled. And I've said this before that you're continuing the mission on. I think it's so important. I'm just going to miss everybody. You know, it's been great.
Yeah. Well, this is not goodbye. I mean, it's not like you're
No, I'm not dying.
You're not. I mean, you're still around.
One more time. I'm at Real Rob Hops. Don't leave me.
I don't think they'll leave you.
I have abandonment issues.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to leave you. And I hope they don't leave me either. I hope you guys stick around.
but also,
we sound so desperate. We're so desperate.
we love you guys.
This is like a new spin on our old desperation of like, hey, could you rate and review us? Could you follow us? God. Could you like, so now we've turned it into don't leave us. Like we've really taken this desperation train to new heights.
Don't leave us.
I'm proud of us.
We're carrying on. Robin is not leaving. This is not goodbye. She might be back here and there. Who knows? Who knows?
Who can say?
You don't know
who
what's can in say? Store. And what else we don't know is what feedback you've given us, because once again, we are batch recording, and I haven't heard your feedback yet, but I'm sure it's really wonderful.
I stand by. I don't think anybody expects you to have implemented anything in 2 weeks. So no. I think people expect new stuff.
I think they expect an acknowledgement of the emails they sent. And don't worry, you'll get that acknowledgement. Check out the social ovaries talk.
Whoa.
Check it out.
That got really weird.
That was like a waitress in a diner. Remember? Eat my grits. What was her name? Do you remember that show?
Oh, Kiss my grits.
Kiss my grits.
Flo from Alice.
From Alice. Yeah, remember that show?
I was trying to sing the song of that, but then in my head came a different one. Making my way in the world. Totally different.
That's a different. Got. That's Cheers.
I know. I went there instead of Alice.
We really just aged ourselves too. And all of the millennials who listen are like, what are they talking about? These are TV shows from the 70s and 80s, folks.
That we were watching when our parents were not home.
Because we were latchkey kids, and we were always alone. Eating.
That's why we're so desperate.
Chips, watching
full
TV.
Full circle.
Getting ourselves home alone.
Oh, God.
In elementary school. And this one time, I was so tiny. I think I was in like fifth grade, but I was so tiny. I looked like I was in third grade. I might have told this story. And it had gotten dark. And this old lady was like, why are you waiting for the bus? You should not be alone. And she sat next to me on the bus and scared the shit out of me so bad. And she was like,
You're actually scaring me.
She was like, listen, when you get off this bus, I'm going to watch you. I want you to run. I want you to run as fast as your little legs can carry you all the way home. Don't walk. Don't go slow. I don't want you to look around. Like, she scared the shit out of me. And when my feet hit the pavement, I ran my little ass home.
Well, at that point, you were probably running from her. She sounds so creepy.
She was like so worried. Anyway. We really got off on a tangent.
Listen.
Really?
All right.
Okay.
We love you. We're going to miss you. I'm going to miss you. All right. Now you need to come help Jamie financially support this by joining our Patreon community.
Please do so. Please. Yeah. You're going to.
You get cool stuff.
Yeah. You get bonus content and you're doing a good thing. And at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most of the episodes, and those are dropped a day early. So you get to be in the know even before the rest of the world.
And they're ad-free. They're ad-free, too.
And they're ad-free, and they're unedited. So you hear even more. There's bloopers in there. Like,
there's more mistakes from Jamie and I that our lovely team from Edit Audio and Steph cut out, and Maria.
Our editors are really amazing.
They're so good. Okay, well, if you want to join Patreon, head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk, and you can join there.
Okay, woo! All right. Yeah. All right, woo! So today's guests, you have heard them before. We love these
two.
If
this has to be my last episode, I'm so glad it was Angela and Jess.
Yeah, from season 5, episode 16, and it was titled Help Syndrome. That's H-E-L-L-P, because she had an interesting pregnancy and delivery.
Oh, for sure.
Really wonderful episode, a very heavy topic.
Yeah.
But
it was still funny because they're hilarious.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to it, go back to that one and listen to it now and then jump back in.
Yeah, totally. It's like old home week around here.
Yeah. I mean, they're back for a Where Are They Now episode. I mean, and they are talking about the baby that they had, an autism diagnosis, fighting the healthcare system and trying for number 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a second episode and it was just like we still could have gone for 2 hours.
We really could have. And they're just so fun to talk to. So we are super excited to share this episode with you. We love these two. And you're going to love it. And I mean, I think Helen is going to roll that tape. She's really going to do
it. This is my final roll the tape, Helen. Are you ready?
Oh, my God.
Roll the tape, Helen!
Oh, my God. Why are you guys?
I didn't know it just was so fun to do it so mean because she's fake.
Oh, my God. Helen is not real.
I think my cat just fell off the bed.
That's your whole family's going to come running in that room right now. What happened?
What'd you do to Helen?
Oh my God. She really doesn't exist, guys. I just joined Patreon to help me out. Okay. All right. Let's roll the tape. Let's do this.
Welcome back, Angela and Jess.
Hi, Angela and Jess.
Hi.
Two of our favorite people are back with us.
Oh my gosh. We feel so special.
Well, we feel special that you guys agreed to come back on. to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I know. We were like, wait, we've done a Where Are They Now on the live stream, but we never done one in the podcast. And Angela had just emailed me saying, like, oh, do you want a voice memo? I've got some updates. And then we were like, oh, hell no. Just come back on. We need you to back in our lives.
Let's talk. Let's chat because you guys are so fun to chat with.
Yeah. Well, got a lot to update about.
Yeah. Let's do your elevator pitch, Angela and Jess. On your mark. Get set. Go.
We're Angela and Jess. We were previously on the show to talk about Jess's experience having our first child, Jonah, and developing HELLP syndrome. It was crazy. But we survived and we got through the trauma and we decided we wanted to try for a second baby. And we're about 2 months worth into the IUI process. And so we had so many updates, we figured we had to come back for a Where Are They Now?
That was beautifully done.
Oh my God, you did it.
I don't even think you had practiced that. That was amazing.
It was only 30 seconds?
Yeah. Perfect.
Oh man, that is really stressful. Is.
You
so stressed out. I'm sweating.
You didn't even do it, Jess.
No. It's stress for me. That's anxiety.
Today has already been stressful enough. Like,
Robin said, on your mark, get set, go. And Jess just pointed to Angela. That was your involvement in that one.
Perform well under pressure.
You do. Good job.
So your initial episode was titled HELLP Syndrome. And it's, mm-hmm. I think it was like season 4 or 5.
Yeah, season 5,
right?
5.
Yeah. Go back and listen to that before you listen to this
one. Go back
one.
And definitely. Can you give an overview of what exactly HELLP Syndrome is for our listeners who maybe didn't listen to that episode?
HELLP Syndrome is a very severe form of preeclampsia. And I might even be getting it wrong. as far as there's eclampsia, preeclampsia, and you can even get postpartum preeclampsia as well. But HELLP syndrome is a very serious form of preeclampsia that is not just high blood pressure. There are other severe symptoms that show. So
like issues with your liver, potential seizures, like your organs can start shutting down if it's not caught. And the only cure for it is to
delivery.
Give birth.
There's no magic pill.
Which you
no
did.
Nothing.
And that baby is sleeping right now, which we're thrilled about.
You're going to be ignored until we're done.
You stay in there.
That door is shut. You stay in there.
And how old is he now?
He is 2.5.
Oh. Yeah, he'll be three on July 10th, which is my birthday. Because remember, he was born
that's
on,
right.
on the same that's day. I don't have to get her a gift ever again. Yeah. So I'm good. Did you ever watch the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel episode where she found out that her parents were moving birthdays around for convenience for them? And I was like, that is not a bad idea.
Brilliant. But they were like, the way they were talking about it was so funny because she was like, what? You did what? Yeah, of course we did. Yeah, yes. Of course. Why wouldn't we?
I love that mother.
But his birthday is in November. What are you doing at the carnival?
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how long was it after the birth that you were like, I think we're going to have another baby? Because that's where we're at, right?
Well, today I don't want to have another baby because he's not napping. So
it goes in waves.
It goes and flows. Ebbs and flows and out of like, okay, yeah. Oh, are you sure you want to do this?
It was really, I think, about the year and a half, 2 year mark that Jess was like, I got baby fever and I want you to have it.
Yeah, our neighbor had a kid. You know, everybody's pregnant on our street right now. So it's freaking women are all over there, all just all knocked just up. And I know these breeders are everywhere.
We love them too. And just, you know.
They just have no clue how hard it is.
They don't.
So you know? We keep having to educate them.
So it's like my neighbor, Abby, who just, you know, had sex with her husband and then it like, you know, she got pregnant the first try. And then she was like, wait a second, you have a 2 week wait. What does that mean? Yeah, we got to like wait 2 weeks to find out.
We know exactly.
Yeah, we know when it happened.
Yeah.
We just yes. we have to wait.
And we're not supposed to test during that time because it could be false negatives, false positives.
Wait, but I think
very stressful time.
I think we've glossed over the fact that you're like, I've got baby fever, but you should carry it.
Yeah, that happened too. Yeah. I wanted to circle back to that.
Hey, she got off on the first round. Why don't I get off on the second round?
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? We got two wombs. Yeah. Let's just.
And I got big baby barren hips. Thinking it was time to put those.
She's lucky too because she has a high pain tolerance. We've been through like the HSG tests and you know all these imaging tests, and I'm like, just let's get fucking to it. Let's just do it already. And like you know,
she's like, okay, this is going to hurt a little bit. I was like, you can hurt this woman. She will not flinch.
I was like, stop trying to make me experience pain.
That's
like my wife saying.
They're like with the wand, like
over the right. It's like they're scrubbing things. They're like, rrr, rrr, rrr.
And I remember how it was for me. I know. It really hurt for me. I mean, I had to be drugged for these things.
Yeah.
And this one over here is taking it like a champ. Yeah,
wow. So was that really just the reasoning for why you're moving hoppers, as Robin likes to say?
It's true, switching hoppers. I do like to say that.
Is it just because
the help syndrome?
It's your turn, but
that was traumatic.
Talk about that.
Yeah, and I feel like I talked to her too. She's older than me, but I feel like, you know, I'm like, you are on this earth. You have to experience this at least once, like if you want to. Yeah. You know, not everybody has that feeling, but I'm like, you know, it's just an incredible feeling to feel something kick inside of you and, you know, have this bump, totally miss the bump, you know, and as much as my pregnancy and delivery were awful, 100%, I tell people all the time, I would do it all over again because kids are just, you know, and Joan is amazing. Yeah. Like, we just love having kids and raising good humans, like for this world, because we need that.
We sure do.
Yeah. But, you know, an update from the last time we met was that we just got an official diagnosis for Jonah. He has autism. One of the things we saw some red flags, you know, and he's a preemie and stuff. So, and one of his donor siblings has autism. Oh. So, it's kind of in the genetics, but one of the things we had to talk about was, do we want the same donor?
Right.
Now that's a big question. Like,
so what?
Okay. Well, why didn't you choose the same donor? Because it was like, you're neurodivergent and like, you don't want.
Well, and we talked about that. I was like, I don't ever want him to grow up thinking that we would have changed him.
Yeah. That's
if
so
we had
hard.
The choice.
What a tough.
Wait, I'm confused. Did you use the same donor? Or you did not.
Yes, we did.
You did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we bought him out.
Yeah, so he's officially retired from the program. So we got the last vials that were available. It was a very quick decision for us to be like, yes, absolutely, we're going
to
try.
How would
the same
you
donor.
Explain it to Jonah? Like that?
Right.
Yeah,
that's exactly correct.
Without saying something was wrong.
And you know, ASD is so random and sporadic as far as like, you know, how you present and. Mm-hmm. It's just neurodivergence. It's not like there's anything wrong with him. It's we have to adjust how we teach him and introduce him to the world. He's a beautiful child and has, you know, he experiences things in a different way. And I love having the ability or the chance to step back and learn from him.
That's right.
Because
it's a whole different
we just have
thing.
To be patient.
Like it's interesting because it is such a bittersweet thing because it's beautiful to watch him and like, he's not talking, but when he does talk, we're like the whole, it's like you could hear a pin drop because Angela and I just want to like celebrate and throw confetti, you know, but at the same time, he's not meeting milestones. So it's very hard for you as a parent not to compare yourself to other kids that are walking and talking and yelling at their parents, you know? So there is a beauty behind it of like, you know, him not talking back to us or whatever, but at the same time, we have to be very aware and
of his nonverbals because he still communicates really well with us.
Yeah.
But
so it is just a totally different ballgame.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, in a good way, like it has taught me so much to be patient with myself, be patient with other people to just slow down because sometimes people just need a little bit. And, you know, people with autism, there's such a spectrum. And right now is like, what do they say? Like a couple years ago, I'm going to say more than 5 years ago, it was like 1 in 100. Kids are diagnosed. Now it's like 1 in 30.
So much more common.
Is it really?
Like
is that
40.
True?
Yeah.
I have to look.
But it's because they're diagnosing more. Yeah. Like,
well,
you
and
know,
because
you,
the spectrum
girls
is
math
so
really well
is
too.
So
that too
varied that you know that many people probably weren't diagnosed. Like you said, girls mask. You know.
Yes.
And so that makes
well,
sense.
They just present differently.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And
know so
like
much
neurodivergence isn't just autism spectrum disorder. Right. It's also ADHD and you know things like that.
Dyslexia.
So,
did you know that March is neurodivergent month? Neurodivergence month.
No,
but I have seen a lot of people posting on our Facebook groups of like, I'm getting this t-shirt with puzzle pieces for my kid and blah, blah, blah. We're not
puzzle piece people.
What is the puzzle piece people?
Well, so the puzzle piece is like the official brand or thing mascot logo of Autism Speaks. And Autism Speaks, they're kind of the meaning behind it is that people with autism have like a missing piece. And that is so not true.
Yeah.
And
they just their brain works differently. And if you actually read and do some research and talk to other people that are actually autistic and have a diagnosis.
Yeah.
You know, like Temple Grandin, obviously she's famous. She's changed the industry. I've been reading some of her books as well. And she's talking about how these are going to be our engineers. These are going to be the people that build our future.
Oh my God, I just got goosebumps. Oh, I just got like
kind of right.
Yeah.
I know.
And especially if you're intentional with raising them and you guys are being so intentional to make sure that you're learning from him.
Yes. And being gentle parenting and allowing that because, you know, there's things like ABA therapy that these so like harmful. Temple Grandin that they support. And, you know, we did one appointment. It did not go well.
No. She didn't. Is that the one where you're like redirecting? Is that?
It's like gay conversion therapy for autistic people.
We talked to another couple who talked about the same thing that what you're saying.
Because it's about teaching them social cues, but it's they're just teaching them like compliance. Scripts.
Yes.
Like a script.
Yeah.
Like when someone says this, you say this.
You want to train a dog and you give them treats. Right. You know, when you tell them to sit, that's kind of like the same thing, except, you know, you want them to do something
neurotypical.
Yes, exactly.
It was not.
And it's like, well, he's not pointing his finger. That's a red flag. He's stepping on his toes. That's a red flag. He doesn't bring you over to something to go say, hey, mom, can you check this out with me? And I'm like, no, because he climbs up the fucking chair and gets it himself because he's self-sufficient.
Right. Got this. Right. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Big tangent, but yeah.
No, but it seems it's not a tangent though. No, this is, you know, but it seems like that's from what we've heard before. And we are by no means experts on this. Like just let me
Neither
say that.
Neither are we. But and we've been in it for 3 months.
Right. Yeah. Like that there isn't a lot of other paths. It seems like it's that or.
Well, there's other stuff. What was it?
Yeah. So there's this thing called the Play Project, which was developed out of, I think it was Eastern Michigan University. And it's
basically my alma mater.
Or Ann Arbor, University of Michigan, somewhere over there in the Ypsilanti, Ann Arbor area. But it's more about using play to teach and to listen to what their cues are and to help redirect in a playful way. Whereas with ABA, it's you withhold. Mm. Like gratitude or you withhold reward until they do what you want. And to me,
and you do it simplified in a certain compliance amount of things. Yeah. So he has to do it 10 times. I'm like, well, he just did it 3 times for you. He's not like a trained monkey.
Yeah.
You know, like he's 2.5. Yeah. He's going to do what he wants.
It seems so in our very limited view of it, it's compliance training. And the whole time he was in a very agitated, distraught state of mind. And when he did the thing and he was rewarded, he was still in a distraught state of mind.
Because he had to do it 10 times.
And even when he did it the first time, he was still distraught. And so to me, I would see, like, I feel like he would learn that how he feels doesn't matter as long as he complies. And what he thinks or what he wants to say, his voice doesn't matter as long as he complies.
And it was so interesting because we had 3 doctors in the room. And of course, this is children. So teaching is very important, which is fine with us. But it's in a tiny ass room. Yeah. You got how many adults and one kid? Yeah. I'm sure he felt overwhelmed. I would have. Yeah. And I'm not.
And everybody's just focused on
him. And the doctor tells me and she's like, well, you just got to learn how to get basically in a nice way. Learn how to get comfortable seeing your kid uncomfortable. I was like, hold the phone for a second. OK, my son was born at 30 weeks, 2.5 pounds. But I mean, he still has scars from where they put in like IVs needles that they needed.
Yeah.
He gets his blood drawn every 4 months. You know, he's probably going to go on growth hormone. So he has, you know, a good shot at life or whatever, you know, so don't talk to me about
Being uncomfortable.
Like, my kid being uncomfortable because we have had nothing but uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I said, he's 2.5. I didn't have a childhood. I want him to be a kid too.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of who he is, he's Jonah, you know, like,
and I think that like, you know, if, now, ABA might work for some people for, you know, if that's what they need, if their child needs that. For us, it just didn't feel right because we have the time and the ability to try something
different.
You mean
I have the time and ability. Yes,
okay. He is a stay-at-home parent.
Oh my God, you got to be a Patreon supporter to see Jess's face right there at that moment where she said, you mean I have the time.
She has claimed the title of primary parent. Yeah. Sure.
She doesn't question me when she was like, what is this liquor bill here? Like,
never mind. She's like, can I make you a cocktail?
I give Jess full credit. She does an amazing job with him throughout the day.
And so, as you know, it was a small question in our mind, but we really thought it was more important for him to have a half sibling. And, you know,
we could handle
in if the case that child number two has the same thing, then we will know what to do. And here we are. There was a small part of me, and we did definitely kind of mourn again, because you mourn
what you thought
what you
gonna be.
Of course, you're parents. You're going to morph, you know, you're going to go through that. I don't know where I was going with this.
But. Well, we definitely were like, we absolutely are going to use the same donor. And because of the increased risk of health issues for Jess, if she was to develop HELLP syndrome again, like now she goes to a cardiologist yearly just to get all of that checked because of the HELLP syndrome.
Oh, wow.
If I could get pregnant, we were going to try that first. Yeah. So we have like so many vials left of this donor. And we actually just had our ultrasound today to confirm
this morning.
Follicle
you guys have good timing.
Yeah.
How many centimeters we at? We had like 10, 12,
26.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay. As Ange says, it's a juicy one.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Got a juicy egg in there.
Please don't make
I don't feel
like
good
that.
About that. I don't feel good I'm about like, that word. I'm with
thank
you. Jess.
What I was like, I like ran to the car. I was like, okay, like she's not my wife. Bye.
Juicy egg is dancing in there.
Oh my God. So wait, so this is an unmedicated IUI or medicated?
Well, it's
like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah, I use letrozole or Femara.
Okay.
To help make it even juicier.
Stop it. And, stop saying that.
There's a different word that I'm referring, like, you know, moist which word I'm talking about when I say, yes. I was refraining from
it. Who said it? Did Jamie say it?
No, I didn't say it. I think juicy.
Yeah, Jamie said it. It was Jamie.
No, it was not me.
Go get me a beer over there.
It was big and bold.
Okay. Yeah.
And
so tomorrow, so, IUI.
Yeah.
Second try.
We like ran back to my parents to pick up Jonna. And then, but first we had to get gas in our car because we were like on E and they're like 25 minutes away from us. So we're like, get the gas, get the kid, get in the car, let's go home. And then she had to shoot me up with Avital.
Yeah.
So, so we did that.
That's the trigger shot, right? Yep. Is Avital
the trigger shot? So
and this time I did not hesitate. I was like,
we are. Yeah.
Done.
She was so concerned.
Isn't it amazing how easy giving your partner or giving yourself those shots becomes? Like it's just
becomes. Yes. Not the first
it's
time.
It's so scary in the beginning. But now I'm like,
God, I spilled too much Avadrol.
Yeah. Yeah, she did squirt a little out the first time. And
you want me to give you a shot? I got it.
Babe.
I've watched enough Grey's Anatomy to know.
I know how to do it. Yeah. I'll give myself a shot anytime. Oh, I'm going to give a shot? No problem. No problem. Where you want to put my butt, my abdomen? I got you. I'm good.
Wait, okay. Now we've skipped over something. And I know this from your email. You talked about insurance and what a hot mess that was.
What happened?
Getting pregnant. So,
what happened?
The wrath of Angela. I want to hear about this.
Okay. Okay.
She's fanning her down.
Jess is fanning her.
No, so I do all the insurance stuff in our household, and I work for the same hospital that I did when we got Jess pregnant. And so we went through all of the imaging studies for me, like got all the blood tests run and the genetics panel and all that stuff. And I was literally like 2 days away from my period starting and getting ready to do the first IUI cycle. And I get a call from the insurance
third party
company,
insurance.
The third party insurance company through my work, saying that they were denying approval of covering the IUIs because we had not yet proved that I needed them for infertility.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Well, you're like, so you guys know how two women can make a baby together? So let me know if you know that.
Enlighten.
Go ahead.
That was her exact conversation with the person on the phone.
Yeah.
Like,
I instantly, like, my blood pressure went up. Yeah. I think I was at a base, like, 101 degrees for my entire body. And then I was like, are you fucking kidding me? But anyway, so I was telling her, this is not for infertility. This is because this is the only way that we can safely get pregnant. Yes. You know, and
we can't go to the corner bar and, you know, just get drunk and stuff. It's not an option.
Well, it's not one we're willing to pursue.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's not your option. No shame on that. That's, yeah, it was not our option. But either way, I was like, can you approve it for use because we're a same-sex couple, not because we need it for infertility?
And
she was like, no, unfortunately, the national standards that all these insurance companies use changed in 2019. Who was in office then? And
by the way, I didn't know about that.
Wait, what did they change?
You have to have 6 tries before they'll actually cover it.
Yeah. So the wording changed for that type of coverage to state that if you are under 35, you need a year's worth of failed tries for a heterosexual couple, or if you are a single woman or a woman in a same-sex relationship, a year's worth of donor insemination fails. Or if you're over the age of 35 and 6 months.
Ching. Yeah. I just can hear change.
I was like, that's completely ridiculous and unfair, because if we're talking about financials here, it is not free for us to try. It is free for people who are in a heterosexual relationship to try to get pregnant for a year, which is great. But we have to...
And by the way, they can just say they tried.
And how can you track that? How can you prove that?
Exactly.
And I said, every time we try to get pregnant using donor sperm, it is money out of our pocket to buy the sperm. It is money for the imaging. It is money for the testing. All these things.
Money for the shipping. Money for the storage.
Yep. I also wonder, like, what if you said, okay, if they allow the straight couples to say that they tried at home, if there's a good faith, because I'm assuming there's no insurance person standing in their bedroom. So they allow them to say that. What would preclude them from an LGBTQ couple from saying, we used a known donor friend, we tried at home for 6 months, it didn't work. Would that count?
1 year.
Or are you saying, no, it's got to be 6 months, like a year?
I don't know.
6 months.
Yeah, it's possible.
It is possible.
But we'd already crossed that bridge because I was like, no, this is not okay. And
she did get some very good advice from the billing lady.
Yes, her name's Mary.
I love when you get the person.
Yeah. We got her on the phone and she sounded this crotchety old lady, probably in her 90s. And I was like, fuck. Of course we get the lady that's probably conservative Trumpster sitting behind wanting to bill all the gay people. And turns out she's from New York. I'm very progressive.
Yeah.
She was like, you need to contact your HR department.
Yeah. Yeah. She said that she sounded old and angry on the phone because she had already been dealing with some other patients of this same reproductive group having similar issues. Some that were single women trying to like harvest their eggs because they wanted their careers before and their insurances were not covering that. So she said one of them wrote a letter to their HR department and stated, you know, this is what I'm doing and this should be covered and this is why. And so she said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll call this third party and set up like a physician to physician meeting so that, you know, Dr. Thomas.
Supposed to try like within the week.
Yeah. Right?
Trying to like panically, like trying to get all this stuff done.
Yeah.
And then so, you wrote your HR.
Yeah. I wrote HR that night. And
by the way, you had to spill your personal business Dana and HR, which is, you know.
Yeah, it was basically just write to HR for you and a blanket.
But here you work for a company and they talk about how they're so inclusive and progressive, LGBT family and stuff.
Yeah.
Right here, folks, we're talking about the nitty gritty.
Back it up.
Couples have to go through in the dark spaces of HR that you don't talk about. Yeah. Well, if you want to be inclusive, then you need to put your name on it. And luckily they did.
Yeah, they actually did it very quickly. And what I said in the email was along the lines of, you know, we tout how progressive we are as an institution and we have our name down as one of the more progressive, you know, places for LGBT people to work and an impressive list of benefits. But somehow this has become more discriminatory than it was in 2018. And that's not okay. Mm-hmm. And please help me to overturn this because I was literally like a week away from trying. And, you know, it's exactly the same benefits and all of this stuff. And
you covered it in 2018.
Yeah. Yes.
For my wife, not even for me.
Yeah. Right. So I had taken the next day off. Jess was like, just take a day off.
Tomorrow off. It's so hard to get her to take a day off. And I'm like, you just need to like step away for a second. We need to just be at home, be with Jonah, like hug our babies.
Yeah.
And we got a call from Mary and she was like, the next morning, go girl. And she was like, what? Hi, how you doing? Like, whatever. She didn't even know the decision. Yeah. And then we went in, got shot up. And then we were like, where's Mary?
Yeah.
Mary, are you there in the back? And this little old lady walks out and Ange just like attacked her.
I was like, I have to give you a hug. I was like, thank you so much for your advice. And, you know, just helping us to get to this point, because it's so important to us. And this is the only way that we can do it, you know, do the IUI. Mm-hmm. I know there's other ways to become parents, but for us, it meant a lot. And, you know, we really appreciate that. And she's like, you're making me cry.
And this is the journey we go through. It's not just us wanting to start a family. There are other people along the line that help us make families. Mm-hmm. The little old lady's named Mary.
What if you hadn't gotten her on the phone and you'd gotten just like some stodgy person who wasn't supportive and who was just like, sorry, that's the rule. You would have paid for it out of pocket.
Exactly.
For 6 months.
A whole lives are decisions that can change either way of the course of whatever.
Of somebody else's life.
Like, we would not even be together if we didn't choose to go to Columbus Pride. And we both decided to go on a whim, and here we are.
Yeah. So, but the bottom line here is go to your company, right?
Yeah. Yes. Ask them. HR. You never know what they'll say. And they really came through quickly. And
but it's like Robin said, you kind of have to give up your privacy a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm very private. So feel lucky, ladies, that you have me on a podcast showing up.
Because she's so private. She put my email address into all of the like company-wide, like, you know,
like, want a 10% off coupon. Whatever.
Yeah. Like, I remember before the first interview, Angela was like, I don't know if Jess is going to do it. I know she's private. And then she came in and she was like, waka, waka, waka. And we were like, oh, okay. This is not all. I was expecting you to just sit there quietly and be like, yes. What Angela said.
Yeah.
And then you got the shock of your lives then.
I just figured she'd be pissed at me the whole time.
Anyway, so insurance was crazy. So and then
insurance was fixed. We were like, yay, get the Femara, got our, you know, like our ultrasounds ready. And they were like, okay, you've got a 16 millimeter follicle. Okay, let's have you come back in like 3 days.
Mm-hmm. So we order it.
We ordered the shot, and then Friday when we were going in to get like our final follicle size ultrasound, Jess was like, why don't you just call them and make sure that they can give you a time of when it's going to be delivered? Because
It
just seems like people, at least in our, you know, circle or in our
tech
parameters,
issues, that's our whole life.
Yeah. It is true.
It's always good to double check. And we constantly run into cases where I have to double check.
And what happens?
They didn't mark it for shipping. Yeah.
Oh my God. So
we were like,
annoying.
Excuse me, what? So
it's a good thing you called.
I have a juicy egg in there that needs to drop at the exact
moment. That was the first one. Yeah, we got the avidril for the second one.
Wasn't
I think they
quite
were like,
juicy, but
I think we're kind of like high profile clients now. Although they made a mistake the first time.
We call enough. So we had to.
Did you get
we
the
did
avidril?
Get it on time. We did get it on time. Yeah. We got it. The next day, luckily, we didn't have to do the avidril shot until the Sunday evening, but they had to like figure out like how they were going to get it to us either that night if I needed it that night or like overnight shipping priority the next day. So they overnighted it. But
I mean, it's
like
planning a wedding every month. You know what I mean? Like, you straight couples, they have no idea. They just
unless they're going through the same
process. They just fucking bam.
There were a couple times. Now I'm remembering back to mine. It's such a blur, but you know, I did so many freaking rounds. I had so many trigger shots. I can't even count the number of trigger shots I did. But there were times when either the order wasn't placed or something happened, and I had to go get like their sample at the clinic, and then. And then they would order it to me, and then I would bring the one, and so I would take the sample and use it. And then when I got the one they had ordered, I would bring it to them so that they had to. So we had to do like a switch off a lot of times. Like, it was
a nightmare.
Crazy.
Yeah. That's good to know you can do that though.
Yeah,
my clinic allowed that, but I don't. Other clinics might be different.
There were some places around the woman who I had spoken with on the phone right before
we were
ultrasound
in a rush.
Was
to
like,
find
I'm going
to
find something locally and see if they can deliver. Or you can pick up, and so she had found one. Just in case, but I had called her back and said, okay, we're not doing it until Sunday, so you can overnight it and we'll be fine. So she's like, oh, that's a good thing.
But still,
this whole conversation, it's like, this reminds me of like, stress does not help the fertility process.
Yeah. No, it does
and so
not.
It's like, it's no wonder, even like, I remember in the beginning of the process thinking like, well, of course I'm going to get pregnant right away. They put it there. They put it next to the thing. in the thing or around the thing. And it's like, of course, it says like it's going to happen.
You're so very scientific on this podcast.
I know.
Yes, I like.
Sometimes I'm just impressed.
I could have been a doctor. I could have been a doctor, but I went on another path.
Just put the thing next to the thing, and then it's the thing.
It's like it gets so stressful. And when it gets so stressful, like your chances drop. You know, it's like how many times do you hear a story of someone who, and these are usually like heterosexual couples where they tried. They wanted the baby so much. They went the IVF route. And then they accidentally got pregnant after they had the first kid because, you know, because they're not so stressed. They already got the baby. But we can't have that accidental thing.
No.
And so we just have the stress and the running around and swapping Avadril. And it's like, that's stressful.
Yeah.
These are the things people, it's so funny when I educate people, like, you know, mentioning at the playground when I take Jonah and, you know, people ask questions, you know what I mean? That's really how to make friends because they either walk away from you or, you know, they're like very intrigued and want to know more.
I
think there was one time you were with some other moms and kids at a farm and you were talking about how, well, we just put $5,000 worth of sperm on our credit card.
Yeah. That kind of scared a few mamas off.
Yeah. She was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, don't stay near that one. I was like, okay, well, I didn't be near you either. So
getting your snacks.
Oh my God, I love it.
But I think that's like a good way to weed out losers.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
And if you don't want to talk about it, you just refer them to our podcast and our book.
Yeah,
just,
absolutely.
You know what? Go listen to this. I do. Go educate yourself.
Oh, we do. We're constantly.
Thank you.
Thank you. We thank you.
Advertising and selling from Ohio. I mean, I don't know.
But publishers like, there's a big spike in sales in Ohio. Yeah. I don't know why.
You are our Ohio ovaries branch.
So wait, so the stressful no Avadril insurance, that first one, it just did not work.
It didn't. No. But you did get the
Avadril in and you did the stuff.
It just
didn't work.
Yeah, we had a negative. So it's like.
Everything went the way it was supposed to as far as, you know, like. You know, got the shot, everything happened.
And I kept checking in with her, like, how do you feel today? How do you feel today? Yeah. And she's like, oh, I feel stretching. And like,
yeah. So for me, it was definitely disappointing. But as someone who's very much into like data, because of my job, I was like, okay, I have a baseline now of what my body feels like when I have letrozole and an Avadril shot. And I know what it does to my uterus and I know how it feels. So I have the feeling that once I'm actually pregnant, I'm going to feel something different. So
mine was burning nipples. If you were curious.
What?
Yes.
What?
I was driving home from work and the last three tries that we had, and then I kept a notepad. You guys should see this. Cause Ange is just, she's just fucking laughing. But I just had like this, like my nipples were on fire and I was like, I'm pregnant.
This is, you know, what's interesting.
It was probably because we watched Aquaman and, you know,
Jason Momoa. Yeah. Jason Momoa does not do that for me, but maybe some other people.
That's another podcast.
I think many people, but not us.
Not us. I wanted to say though, after all of the times I tried to get pregnant, when I finally, the one that worked during my 2 week wait, I remember looking down at my nipples and they had changed.
No.
They were different.
I really wanted to get off the nipples and I thought we did.
And I said to myself, I'm pregnant. But I didn't want to believe it.
I'm pregnant. I know, right?
But I wouldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. But I kept looking at them like, this is new.
All right.
This is different. Robin, I'm not going to show you my nipples. Don't worry.
Please don't,
Jamie. I would never.
Please don't.
Oh, my God. That's what they say. The it's like a boob change. Like the boob.
For the Patreons. Bonus content. Jamie's nipples.
Hey.
Yes, but something changed. Just for those of you at home who are looking for those signs, and you know, you Google the crap out of pregnancy symptoms
YouTube,
during that 2 week wait.
I was all over that shit.
You Google the shit out of it. So that was my sign. That was the thing
that was my sign, showed me.
What was your sign, Robin?
Robin.
I didn't have any signs. Like both pregnancies,
I was lucky. She didn't have to carry.
Yeah, I carried both. And Mary didn't have to do it. But they were both times it felt like I was getting my period. Like sore breasts. I mean, it felt like I don't get a big period. It's like not a big deal for me. So maybe it was like more, but I mean, it was just.
So you're
just
one of the
regular
women we hate then, right? Because you don't have basically heavy flows. You got pregnant quickly. You had an easy delivery.
I mean, I don't know why we have to say hate.
I mean,
why can't we just
okay,
be like, why
hate,
can't we just
like
be like,
talk jealous bad about.
Or no, why can't we just say we aspire to?
Aspire.
Like, that feels like
there
a better
go
way to.
That is a better advertising.
Let's keep liking me.
You had to travel all the way down to like South America too.
Yeah,
right?
I had to go to Bogota. I mean, it's like I put some time in here.
Yeah, you did.
Money
yeah,
and
yeah
miles.
Mm-hmm.
Money and miles, right? All right. So now we're in our second month trying.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually,
tomorrow.
Actually, tomorrow. Yeah. So tomorrow will be our second IUI, but within the same month. So the first IUI was on March 1st. And okay. I fortunately started my period without having to use medication to induce it, because that's one of the things that I've had to do up to this point, because I have polycystic ovarian syndrome. So that has been harder for me to do, but I've been regular because of, you know, using medroxyprogesterone, and this time I didn't have to. So
yeah, we had a frontliner this time.
Yeah. Well, the front runner who was ready at the first, ultrasound. And today they were like, you have the Oreo look of your uterine lining, which is, I guess,
good
thing.
That was the first time they said that.
Nice. Oreos are always good. Oreos are always good.
Agree. Yeah. And tomorrow we do the IUI.
Okay.
And so right after Easter is when the 2-week wait will be.
Oh, God. You got to get through it. You got to get through it. You just got to get through it.
We have to think about holidays, but we are prepped for it, because the last time that, well, when you got pregnant, we brought chocolates to the doctors and nurses.
Good job.
And then she got
pregnant.
You got
to bribe that egg out. You know what I mean?
Okay. Now you're bringing peeps.
We are not above bribery. So
bring Cadbury cream eggs. Those are my favorite.
She bought some really nice chocolates.
I did.
So we have just bought some the other day, and we have it in our bag ready to take tomorrow with us, so we can bribe the doctors to do.
Yes.
You know, to make it happen. But Jess got to push the plunger the first time. Because this is a new office. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So that was exciting to me. But the doctor that let me do that was actually at the same hospital Jonah was born. She had helped and assisted when he came early. And I was like, Dr. Boo, I won't say the name, but
she was a fellow, I think, at that point.
Oh my gosh.
Now she's a resident.
This is coming full circle. This is kind of nice.
Yeah, it was cool. So we were like, there's so many signs, like so many things that didn't work out. And then there were so many signs that it should. So like, come on, universe, like make this one work. We would love like just to get invitations to the party the first time around.
So here's another piece too. So one of the donor sibling couples, like we all know each other, not all of us, but a small group of us. They're like, oh, you bought him out. We wanted to try for a sibling. So there's even more pressure on Anne to get pregnant.
Oh, because you want to give them some of the rest.
Yeah. So they got really lucky too, because they were given a vial
from other couple that we know.
They were friends. And they were like, you know, we just have one left. We know you want to try. You're ready. Here, you can have this. And then like our kids would be friends, would be like siblings. And they got pregnant on the first go. So it was really exciting. So I don't know, like if they're registered with our sperm bank and can reach out to them to like try to bring the donor out of retirement or not, because they didn't necessarily buy the sperm from the bank. So that's a question further on down the line.
So
that's tricky. Yeah.
There's some content for you. That's kind of hard.
Some content. Right. Well, you know what you do to make this one work? And I'm sorry, I'm going to gross you out, Robin. I'm so sorry. You need to have an orgasm right after they do it.
She did. She touched herself. I didn't have enough time.
Body positive. I was like, I am going to get myself up.
Just do it in the office.
Right there on the table. That's what I did. That's the one that worked. That's what I did. I'm not kidding.
Jess will be there.
Robin is so uncomfortable.
Oh my God, Robin, come on.
We're making babies here.
So waspy.
So waspy. Why did this episode turn against me? What happened?
I don't know. I mean, and I'm not saying for all of you at home, I am not an expert on this. I'm just saying that I think that helped my odds.
No, that's a scientific thing that it creates like a suction
that sucked it right up.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a better way to say that.
Well, like we said, we are very scientific on this podcast.
It does something.
And we give you all the terms and you go ahead and you take them however you want. Hoppers.
Put the thing next to the thing, squirt, and then, you know, do something to help suck it
and
up.
And then switch hoppers if you need to. I mean, and that's the beauty of our families.
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of our families and of this podcast is that you now have a lot of people who sending vibes that this works.
Ooh, like, thank you.
Not just us, but a whole community of listeners that are sending vibes your way.
Well, thank you. We are hoping that it happens sometime soon, because there is still the issue of us not being able to use IVF for me because of the BMI limit is currently set by the anesthesiology department at the hospital where we are a part of that reproductive group.
Just because they don't want to put you under?
They say it's unsafe to do elective procedures like that. Yeah, they would want to put me under in order to do an egg retrieval.
Yeah.
And because it's considered elective, even though it's necessary at that point for infertility reasons. Yeah, that's their limit. But it's completely bogus and it's completely outdated. And there are some fertility or reproductive offices where that is not a requirement, but it's like in central New York or other places. Right. So
yeah.
I would.
We're coming to visit.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right. So,
well, also, we're not going to need that for you guys. We're not going to need that.
Hopefully. Thank you. Yeah. See that?
Yeah. It's not. Take that positive energy.
Put it out into the universe.
Yeah, we're not. And we're not even going to start discussing that because there's no need for it.
And then you know what? And then you call Mary. You call Mary again, and you take her advice. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Mary.
Well, this has been the best Where Are They Now ever. I mean, it's okay that it was our first, really. But it's, it has been the best. I mean, and my face hurts from laughing.
You guys are
we
so
love you two
fun.
So much.
We really love you.
Just don't title it nipples, okay? Because, you know, Bernie, I can't send that to my mom.
I'm going
to
call it title it Burning Nipples.
Burning Nipples.
Okay, Burning Nipples.
Burning Nipples
so
and
you
juicy
can send
eggs.
That to your mom. Juicy egg. Burning Nipples and Juicy Eggs. Now, that's a
she's
going
to be
title.
Like, are you sure you meant to send this to me? I don't want to open it.
Is this spam?
Yeah. This time, I will say, it has been different just because we've been able to include my parents in this whole process because they've
Everybody,
had to watch
really.
Jonah while we get these procedures done. So it's been nice to not have to keep that a secret and to have some help with that. And he's really comfortable with them.
And I was I'm an external processor and she's internal. So of course she's fine with whatever. But me, I was dying inside not being able to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And just feeling like I couldn't talk to anybody. So
it's been a different experience.
Different experience. Yeah.
Well, the second's always different for so many reasons because you've got another kid. You've already done it and it's just different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We love you too. Thank you so much for sharing. And we're with you. Yeah. We are with you.
Thank you.
We love coming on the show.
Yeah.
We love you guys. Love the podcast.
Keep coming back.
You're gonna be friends forever.
Yes.
Yay.
Angela
and Jess. I love them. I love them.
Oh, I'm telling you, my face always hurts after talking to them because they're just so fun and funny.
And open and loving. Thanks for sharing that story with us again.
I love how they keep in touch. Like they're always like, Angela's like, I got an update. And then like sends an email. Like, I love that.
You know,
I just
love it. A lot of you past guests do that. And we do love all those updates. So, you know, it's really wonderful.
Well, if they're going to have that number two, we know it's just a matter of time. We can't wait to hear about that. Keep us posted, Angela
Everybody
and Jess.
Everybody put that good baby dust out into the air for Angela and Jess.
That is correct. All right, everybody. All right. This is our goodbyes. We're going to say don't forget about the social media, Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm saying it again, I'm Real Rob Hops on all the social platforms. Come find me there too, because I'm going to miss you all. And then If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube and support the community on patreon.com/ovariestalk, where you get that bonus content.
Yeah. And this is not goodbye for the podcast. This is just a goodbye for Robin.
That's right.
At this moment.
That was correct.
But we'll be back next week. We're coming back at you next week with new stuff. So tune in. Woo. It's exciting. And check in on the social because you're going to hear all about it on the social, about what's going on.
And thank you to our sponsors, Modern Fertility. And a huge thank you to all of you Patreons who are already helping us make the show, or even if you did in the past. It has always, always, always been appreciated.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you all. Thank you all for tuning in and being this community. We love you.
Yeah.
And I'll miss you, Robin. This sucks.
I'll miss you too. 5 years.
I mean.
5 years.
I mean, we'll be in touch.
We will. All right. We're going to say it. We're going to just say it. All right.
All right.
Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Out, 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 out.
If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.